Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. An oral history project highlighting the stories of marginalized people is soon set to launch in Cobourg. David Sheffield has interviewed several of these folks attempting to humanize the plight of those impacted by mental illness, addictions, and homelessness. Posters are being erected downtown with access to a QR code to hear these stories.
The I Belong Here project comes from my years of working in the community and developing relationships with folks. For the last 20 years or so, I've been involved with folks that are marginalized in the community, first as a volunteer and then 15 years with Greenwood Coalition. And this project really is rooted in the relationships that I built during that time. And I was looking for a way to kind of creatively interface with the community in a way that people who weren't hearing real life stories from folks that are marginalized could hear those voices.
Now, why is it important for the community to hear these voices? It seems that at this point, Cobourg is a little fatigued with what's going on in the entire situation. So why is it important?
Yeah, I think right now we've got a bit of a difficult situation, even volatile situation, particularly in Cobourg. But what's happening here is representative of what's happening across the country, certainly in other places, and been some significant shifts. And so I think people are confused. People don't have enough information. And if the only information that people are getting about homelessness, about changes in the use of drugs, etc., if it's only coming from propaganda sources, I mean, we've really weakened our media opportunities. People aren't hearing a complete story, and we're definitely in a very complex time where these different pieces are intersecting. Some people call it a poly crisis, and one of the things that gets lost in this poly crisis of homelessness, drug use, mental illness, is the voices of the people who are actually living it, and often have solutions, but at the very least are humans living through this, and we need to think about that perspective and think of them as valid human beings in our community.
Before we get to the human side of itself, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a stigma in the homelessness situation, that homelessness and people who are homeless are generally associated with drugs and drug use, but that's not necessarily the case. It could be whatever socioeconomic situation led you to not having a home. Are you finding in the stories and what you're hearing in the public that there is that level of stigma?
Yeah, certainly stigma is one of the big problems that we're facing right now, because if we're going to find solutions to the difficulties that we're in, we need to cross over some lines, and by sort of being spiteful at somebody who has a different point of view than you or has a different understanding of where we're at, that really just breaks down any kind of communication, any kind of problem solving. And that's what we're seeing locally. If we look outside of our area, there are solutions developing. But this is a much bigger structural problem that we're facing of homelessness and these other issues. And if we only think about it as a Cobourg situation, that's not going to get us anywhere. This wasn't created in Cobourg. That said, at the center of this are some people who live in our neighborhood, who are people that we walk by on the street. And if stigma is keeping us separated, preventing us from having those conversations that are going to lead to something better, I mean, what we all want here is a good life in our community. And that goes for people who just moved here, people who have lived here their whole life, people who are doing well, people who are not doing well. We're all trying to negotiate what does a good life look like for all of us. And we need to get past the stigma and the difference between us to get there.
So let's get to the stories. Tell us some of the stories. I guess it's going to be raw. Some of these stories are going to be good, bad. That's what you're going to get when you talk. You never know what you're going to get, really. So predominantly, what are you hearing in some of these stories?
So what I was after with these stories, and it's very important to understand that we approach this from an oral history perspective, where we see myself, the interviewer, and the interviewee or the narrator as co-authors in creating a story together. We're taking a moment where it's a snapshot of what we talked about today and what may be happening in that person's life. What I was really interested in was who is this person outside of the labels that they've been given? We got these labels of homelessness, addiction, etc. But who is this person? And I was really interested in kind of the less dramatic parts of a person's life, the ordinariness of this, because that's where we find our common humanity, that, oh, this person has had a similar experience to mine, or this person loves the same things I do. So we focused a lot on that. Each of these interviews was about an hour long, and I interviewed 9 different people, and those interviews, some of them I interviewed 2 times, 3 times, that kind of thing. And so we talked about a lot of things, and there was some stuff, as you say, that was difficult and sobering, and some stuff that was just funny, some stuff that was surprising, inspiring, very much like the human experience. I mean, somebody said, you know, every one of us carries a universe inside us, and it's the same for a person who's struggling on the streets. They've lived a life, they've had a lot of experiences, and those things add up to who they are now and can't be simplified as a label or something like that.
So how did you gain the trust and to that allow these individuals to know that you're caring for their story, not just to possibly exploit their story?
Yeah, that's a really important question, and that comes from my training in oral history in one way, because there are some things that the oral history reporting or recording process offers some ethical guidelines that are useful. But the core piece of this project was the 9 individuals that I interviewed that are people I've known for 3, 4, 5, 10 years. And so we had an existing relationship, and there was trust there that was rooted in my work in the community and our interaction over the years. And so that was the beginning point. And then it's a series of conversations about how is that person feeling right now? Do they feel solid enough to do this? I explained to each individual that this interview is meant to focus on the strengths of each person and what's going well for them or what has gone well for them, and that we wanted to talk about a larger piece of their life, sort of like a mini biography that we were creating together. And so all of the individuals were keen to do that and volunteered to do this. This wasn't a paid proposition. This is us working together to create something. And those longer interviews have a lot of material that's not out there yet. The project as it stands right now has short clips from those longer interviews.
Okay, so tell us next steps. What's the process for telling these stories, in your opinion?
So for the I Belong Here first phase, my thinking was we need to do something creative, something, you know, that brings a bit of an artistic perspective to this problem that allows us to interface with folks in the public in a different way, in a non-confrontational way. And so what we did was took these interviews, and each interview was edited down to about a 2-minute clip of that person telling a few pieces of their story. Some of the things that they were talking about require more time than that, so obviously it doesn't capture everything, but it captures some interesting bits of each person. And then the installation project that's on the streets now is sort of in the form of a large poster that has 9 color blocks on it in a nine patch quilt design is kind of what was in my mind. And I photographed some wood blocks and played around with colors to try to create something that was eye catching as you're walking down the street. Oh, what's this? And then each of those blocks has a QR code that the person can stop and listen to each one of those nine short clips. And so that's the first phase of the project. I guess I should add that the project as it exists now is only available to use on the street. There isn't an online version of this. So a person who wants to hear these stories has to go to downtown Coburg to listen to these stories, because that's where these were recorded. That's where there's a good chance that they could run into one of these people. And this was very focused on that neighborhood. The next phase for the project would be to share it more widely. And so within the next week to 2 weeks, there will be an online version of this so that it can be shared in other ways and that people can hear those specific clips in other ways. And beyond that, we've got a few discussions happening about possibly a print version of the longer interviews, because there's a lot more material that is interesting and I think tells a story. You know, again, from an oral history perspective, this is something that's happening in our community at this time. We're telling the story of not only these individuals, but of a time in the history of Coburg. And we may want to look at that later. We may want to think about this and consider, you know, how did we get here and how did we move from this?
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.